Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All right, all you positive heads, as you guys know, if you've been listening for a while, although I totally believe it's possible, I'm someone who doesn't claim to have had a lot of experience with multidimensional beings or ETs. But if you listen regularly, I do have, or you may have heard, my fairy story, which is about my only non-human experience that I believe anyway that I personally encountered. And my fairy story happened in 2013. And funny enough, it recently popped back up in dramatic fashion last month in mid-April. And I actually, if you guys want to go and listen, I share that story on episode 671. Originally, I shared it way back at the beginning of the podcast on episode 2 when I first launched the show. Anyway, what's great about today's powwow is I find it quite synchronistic. I just looked back before we started that today's guest, Karen Kay, aka the Fairy Lady, actually reached out to me about 1 week before my reoccurrence of that story in mid-April. And today she's here with me as my powwow guest. We're starting the show off with a synchronicity. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be talking with you, Brandon, and I can't wait to hear that fairy story of yours.
You know, it's a bit lengthy, and I've shared it on those episodes, so I don't know if I'll go into it again. Let me think about that one, because I don't want to, like, some people are like, oh, I've heard him tell it twice already, you know, because it's in two other episodes. But I have a feeling you have some really good stories for us as well. And before we dive into those, I would like to just start with my very predictable starting question. And that is, you're in an elevator. The guy next to you looks over, says, what's your passion? You have 10 stories to answer. What do you say?
I have 10 stories as in blocks.
The elevator's, you know, going up. You can't take all day. I just need like your Cliff Notes version.
What is my passion? Is that the question? Mm-hmm. Did I hear it? Yeah. Okay.
You heard it
what
right.
What is my passion? Okay. I will have to say fairies, life, love, compassion.
Wonderful. Short, sweet, to the point, but packed with goodness. All right.
Yes.
So, speaking of stories, let's start with the foundational story, your story. How does someone become the fairy lady? What has led to this this great adventure that is your life?
Okay, so I'll kind of go, well, time is a bit funny in fairyland. It doesn't fully exist in the same way that it does in the human land.
Ooh, so I like that. I'll say, all right.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the reason why I've accepted this label of the fairy lady is, and it was given through the innocent mouth of a child a couple of times, actually, when I was in a supermarket and this little girl was tugging her mum's jacket and she's like, look, mummy, it's the fairy lady. And I looked around looking for a fairy lady. And then I realized that she was pointing at me. Wow. And this happened a couple of times. And I thought, okay, I'm going to take that. I quite like it. It's quite sweet. So yeah, that's why I've got the label now, that I enjoy that. It's quite fun. But my first journey with the fairies started when I was a young child, and I used to spend a lot of time with my grandmother. My parents separated, and I saw them both, but I didn't want to live with either of them. So I went to live with my grandmother because I felt that that was fairer. And mm-hmm. she loved flowers. She had a beautiful garden, and she had lots of roses. And she just loved her flowers. And I used to spend a lot of time in the garden with her. And then the petals would fall off the roses naturally, and I would gather them up, and I would make what I believed was fairy perfume. In reality, it's probably just fairy water, or rose water, I think they call it. And mm-hmm. I would make this as an offering for the fairies. So I had a connection with them naturally, instinctively, intuitively, with, you know, I didn't have my ego or my mind. They weren't fully developed then. So this was all very instinctive. And I used to just make this fairy perfume for the flower fairies as my way of honoring them. And I would leave it out. And that's how it all started. And then basically, throughout my life, they've just always been there. And it's really hard to put it into words, even though this is what this is about, putting it into words. For example, I got a tattoo of a fairy when I was quite young, about 15, on my shoulder, and I didn't really know what I was doing. I just knew that I wanted it there. So I've always had Tinkerbell on my shoulder. I've always perceived fairies, and by that I mean I would see them as lights. Usually I would perceive them as lights, so they would be very flashing, in very vibrant, electrified colors, like purples and pinks and greens and blues and yellows, and they'd be really vibrant, and they would, I just knew that that was fairies. I could go on and on and on, but that's basically how I came to where I am now, through my connection with fairies. And it's just developed, and they communicate with me kind of telepathically. Sometimes I actually hear them, and occasionally I've seen them.
Wow. And so it started obviously very young, where you're connecting with these energies, these entities. You know, what instantly comes to mind for me, I've been reading from a book called Oneness, and I love this book. And I just will, maybe once a week or every few weeks, I'll pick a random chapter. And I always refer to it as sort of a guidebook for ascension, right? What happens as we all increase our vibration on this planet? And those, you know, we're all sort of waking up. There's this mass awakening happening, and what's, you know, there's a shift. Most people would agree, especially in our community, are really aware of it. And so, you know, one of the things that the book talks about is, as we ascend vibrationally, there's going to be new plant life and minerals and animals. And we're like, how did we miss this stuff before? Like, it seems very odd. We're just finding this. And it's like, well, actually, it wasn't there before. You weren't or it was there, but you weren't perceiving it, because, you know, we live in this multidimensional reality where there's all these layers of existence. And as you, you know, raise your vibration, you're shifting into new, you know, new versions of Earth that are slightly different, have some slightly different things. And, you know, so I instantly think of that when I think of, you know, entities like fairies or Sasquatch or any of that. It's like, you know, I personally believe these are real energies that are just right off of the quote unquote norm of what most people have been living on and perceiving on. And now, as things are really, you know, on the move, if you will, vibrationally, and a lot of shift is happening, people are starting to have experiences that maybe they like myself, you know, with my, you know, and I won't tell the whole story because it's about 10 minutes or so to tell it fully. But, you know, I was in the woods camping, and I just had a very, very powerful night. And once again, if any of you guys want to hear it in detail, go to episode 671 or episode 2 of the podcast and you can hear the real detailed story because there's much more to it, a magic jacket and all kinds of cool stuff. But this in glowing crystals, like all kinds of stuff. But the fairy piece of it is I was about to go to bed after this an epic night, and I'm laying down and all of a sudden I see something like flying by over my head. And at first I'm like, was that a bird? It was like sunrise, just, or not even sunrise. The light was just starting to peek through the trees and I was sleeping outside in the forest. And after this very magical, powerful night, and about to lay down outside. And I'm like, what is flying over my head? You know? And I started communicating with them telepathically, I felt like, and they would increase in speed. And then something came up from earlier in the night that was disempowering. And as soon as I had a thought of that, I heard very distinctly in my head, and I don't claim to have heard much ever, like, I don't, you know, as I said at the top of the show, but I heard very distinctly, you're not ready to see more yet. And then they stopped cold turkey. I did not see, I'd seen like probably 50 flyby before that, and it, not another single one after I heard that in my head. And so that's sort of my Cliff Notes version of my own fairy story. And so, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where I, you know, I don't say definitively it was fairies, but there's some synchronicity to the story. Little did I know I was sleeping on top of a little fairy at that moment, a little toy, like clip-on fairy thing that happened to be buried in the bedding underneath me that I found the next, you know, hours later, and a lot of weirdness with that story. But so, you know, anyway, that's my long-winded sort of perception and experience with my story and what I feel is happening. I feel there's, you know, people stepping forward like yourself who are really resonating with these energies and, you know, bringing them in a playful but serious way to the forefront. And as we sort of shift our vibration, anything is possible to see and experience.
It is. First of all, wow. Like, that story is amazing.
Very Cliff Notes version of the story. Yeah, if you hear the whole thing, it's like back, really powerful.
I'm going to listen 671 and episode 2. I'm going to listen to them both because I want every part of the nitty gritty of that story because it sounds really amazing and definitely a fairy experience. And when you said, you know, you realized you were sleeping on some kind of fairy toy or clip or something.
Yeah, like a little, like one of those things you could, like, what's the word for it? Like, you know, it's about a half an inch in size and you would sew it onto a clothing or something like that.
A little,
you know,
badge or a patch or something that. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Little plastic fairy is what it basically was.
Well, they may have left it there for you.
Yeah.
They have been known to leave little gifts. But the way that you said as well, when this thought came in that wasn't in that high vibrational flow, then it completely stopped. And that makes so much sense as well, because they do, as you were saying earlier, they do exist, and as do many other beings. But obviously today we're focusing on fairies. They exist on our earth, on our planet, in a parallel dimension. And when you vibrate at a certain vibration, then you are able to peek through that veil and vice versa. They're very wary of humans. And I say that because humanity present company excluded, because I'm sure that everybody listening is very compassionate towards nature and trees and the environment in general. Fairies are guardians of our planet. And that's another way that I work with them very strongly, because I'm a passionate environmentalist as well. And it's all about protecting the planet and everything that grows on the planet. And it's also really interesting what you said about these new plants and things that are going to come into being or are in being, but we'll just be able to perceive them more as we raise our own vibrations. That's really cool. In fact, it reminded me when you said that, I often go out walking on my own in nature so that I can commune with fairies. And I had a really strong message. I was looking at everybody's gardens and how they're all different. And some are really neatly neat lawns, and some are a bit wild, and some have weeds and some don't. And I thought, what is a weed? And then I immediately got the message, there are no weeds.
Yeah.
You know, as because people say weeds are, oh, get rid of the weeds, but weeds are just as valid, if not more so, than the hybrid plants and the other plants, because from the inverted comma weeds, they're the healing medicine plants, you know, like, for example, I'm not sure exactly of the plant names where you are to where I am, but things like dandelions, the yellow flowers,
that,
you know, you can eat the leaves. They've got, this isn't, you know, never do this at home, folks, always take medical advice, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you can actually eat the leaves. You can sprinkle those beautiful petals on a fresh salad. You can eat them raw. There's so many things that people, some people deem as weeds. And the message came through, there are no weeds. Every plant is valid. Every plant is worthy. Every plant should be celebrated. Like, some of the plants are very showy and they're very vibrant, and your eye will go to the big bright pink flower, and then there's a tiny little white flower growing, and, you know, but everyone is valid. And they said, they're like people, we're all different, and we should all be celebrated, and we can all live in harmony together like a field of wild flowers. They all grow, they're all different, they're all in the same zone, in the same vibe, but expressing themselves in a creative way that is different from the other one, like a big pink flower, a big yellow flower. They're all different, same as people. And that was a really strong message that came through about celebrating the differences, and that no plant is a weed. And I'm not sure how I ended up talking about that, but that's what came through. So yeah, it was really relevant.
I've heard that before. It's, you know, it's like a difference between a weed and a flower is like a judgment, right?
Totally.
And so it's like so many things in our planet. We've created these boxes that we put things in, and then sort of like stereotypes. And what's, I feel like, is happening on the planet right now in mass on all levels is all these stereotypes, all these boxes we've lived with for so long. We're all of a sudden realizing, hold on. Who built this box again?
Exactly.
Who put this thing or this idea in this box? Hold on. Who was it? It was some guy in the 1800s who like had his shirt buttoned up way too tight. Like, let me get this straight. You know, it's like, I don't know. I think I'm going to look at it from a different lens. And I love how that's happening, you know, in mass. So as someone who's, you know, in my case, I wasn't seeking to have a connection and I had, you know, an experience. You're someone who very actively, you know, is resonating with this energy and calling in this energy. How can, you know, someone listening who's like, okay, this is definitely an interesting powwow that Brandon's having here. And I thought fairies were something that I just read about in my children's books or whatever. I think of that beautiful painting or picture from Midsummer Night's Dream. She's like bent over and all these fairies are around her. Like, I thought that was the extent of fairies, you know. How does someone who's now open to this idea as a possibility go about connecting with fairies?
Okay. So first of all, let's go back to the box. Let's get out of the box. Let's sit on the box. Let's squash the box. And then let's just completely throw the box away. We don't need a box anymore. The box is an ethereal concept. It doesn't exist. It only actually exists in our own minds and the confines of our minds and other people's minds. And we've kind of taken that on board, as you said. So first of all, you get rid of the box. You get rid of any expectations, but you expect the unexpected when you're connecting with fairies. There are no rules. Everything's inside out, upside down, back to front, betwixt and between. They really do flow in between all the atoms. And
is betwixt a fairy official fairy word? Because if not, it should be.
it is in my book.
Me too. From this moment forward, I declare it a fairy word.
Yay! Well, yeah. I mean, I just kind of pick up on words and things that feel right and descriptive. It's like when I connect with fairies, I often describe the energy as like champagne, very fizzy. I don't drink champagne anymore, but that energy of champagne, which is bubbly and light and fizzy and heady and airy and just a nice sparkly vibe. And that's mm-hmm. how I describe it.
Interesting.
So, okay, let's go to, I don't want to, because some people might already have this connection. And sometimes a lot of people have the connection with fairies and they haven't labeled it as fairies, or they're having the connection and they're kind of, because it's a very person, it's like a friendship. You're developing a friendship. So even though you can go on Google and you can find a million and one different ways to connect with fairies, a million things that you should definitely not do and a million things that you definitely should do. For me, I just throw all of that out and I say, when you want to connect with fairies, you have to be receptive to that. Also, I would say, if you work with a guide, whether it's an angel or whatever it is, if you do, then call that energy in as a guardian for your experience, because it's always good to do that when you're venturing into new territory. A bit like you're going to a club for the first time, you want to take a mate, you want to take a friend just to have your back. So it's the same kind of thing on a spiritual, energetic level. Then I would say, if you can, get yourself out into nature, if it's possible. The best way would be to go and find a peaceful space in a woodland or a forest or wherever, a tree, and sit with your back against the tree. And then go into a peaceful, receptive space. You can call that meditation. You don't have to call it meditation. It just go into a receptive space and put the thought out, either verbally or in your mind or in your heart. Fairies, fairies, I'm here. I'm open to connecting with you. Something really simple like that. And they will, if they're around, which invariably they will be, and they are, but they just keep quite a distance usually from humans. But they might be curious because they read, they kind of scan your energy. So they'll mm-hmm. come forward if they feel that you're vibrating on an energy that is slightly different to other humans or more in resonance with them. And then just be really receptive, because they can come to you if they want to in many different ways. So you might just feel them. You might feel that something's different. You might feel a tingling or something like this. You might see something. You might see something out the corner of your eye if they wanted to show themselves. Sometimes they'll manifest as animals. They have a strong connection as guardians of the land. They have a very strong connection with animals and insects and birds, etc. So they could manifest to you as that, a butterfly or anything. It could just happen. So it's really important to just be really receptive and just see what comes. And you can ask them clearly and say, please give me a sign if you're here, show me that you're here. And they may or they may not. It really depends on, because they have egos. they're close to the ground. They're close to the planet. So fairies, unlike angels that are said not to have egos, fairies do have egos. So it is really like forming a friendship, a new friendship. And, you know, we meet people, we might say, I love everybody, but it doesn't mean you have to like everybody. Some people I don't like, you know, let's be real. You don't always vibrate on the same level. You have different likes, different dislikes and things like this. So it's the same for fairies. They will come to you if they feel, first of all, that you are a compassionate person who loves the planet. I'm not a preachy person, but I would say if you're vegan, you've got more of a chance of them connecting with you, because they love and protect animals. So they will feel that compassion within you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're a gardener, you've got more of a chance of them coming to you. So it's not an exact science. In fact, it's not a science at all. It is basically just making yourself available. And if you can't get outside for whatever reason, sometimes people, they just don't have access to nature. It's a sad fact to me anyway, because I love nature and I'm in it as much as I can be. But some people, it's just not possible for them. So right. The way that you can still connect with fairies without being in nature, you can do it from inside your apartment, the top of a high-rise block, wherever you are. And they literally are only a thought away. If you have a potted plant, you know, a plant in a pot, it can be any type of plant. There will be a guardian of that plant with it. All plants, all living plants have this. So you can connect with the guardian of the plant that you have. I'm assuming that everyone's got a plant, potted plant, but if you haven't, then that's fine too. But if you have, you can consciously tune in to the plant and the guardian of that plant. And when you connect with one fairy, it's almost as if you're connecting with all fairies, like insects. So for example, a bee, you hear about this hive mind. So you're connecting with one, you're connecting with all of them. They work as one. And that is kind of similar for fairies, although you do get the rebel ones that go and do their own thing. It's very general what I'm saying. And then if you don't have a plant, then you literally just put it out in your heart, because they work on vibration. So they can feel you. You know, if you are on that level where you're a compassionate being, you care about the earth, you don't harm animals and things like this, you eat organic food, whatever it is, you don't have to be perfect. They're not perfect, and they certainly don't expect us to be perfect, but there's a general level of caring and compassion, and you are more likely to have a connection with them if you are on that same vibration. I hope that kind of answers a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, but one question that comes up for me is, you know, you talked about them being having egos and being, you know, in a sense, very close to the earth. And in that way, it's almost like a, you know, a human-ish quality, right? Individuals, mm-hmm. They're not coming down from this, you know, from the fifth dimension or some, you know, high realm where, you know, they're more playful, animal-like in a sense. But obviously some level of intelligence. So it makes me curious, is there... you know, and it's one of the things you've seen depicted in the, you know, a lot of times I think depicted in stories and things like that, you see, you know, this idea of mischievousness. I mean, is there sort of that energy or even, you know, bad fairies?
Yeah. 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 There are, the same way that there are bad humans and there are mischievous humans. Now, fairies do have a reputation of being mischievous. They're playful beings. And they're unpredictable. But you can choose who you want to associate with. So when you put out, that's why I said initially, when you're reaching out to connect with the fairy realm, have your back covered. Call in your guide, or whether it's God or the source or goddess or whatever it is, angels, whatever your particular thing is, call it in, protect yourself, or just do a protection visualization, surround yourself in white light or whatever it is that you do, or put on a golden cloak, an invisible golden cloak, and anything that's giving you that extra reassurance spiritually before you open to them, because it is an unpredictable terrain.
Right.
Also, once you open that fairy door, or once you go through that fairy door, or once you open the fairy door and the fairies come in, it's pretty hard to close it. Henceforth, why I've been working with them, or sometimes they say for them, for so long, because my whole life is completely taken over with them. But I choose very carefully which fairy energies I connect with. And I have experienced the more mischievous, darker side of fairy. I have experienced that. It does exist. In fact, when you read about fairies, this is what is highlighted a lot for people. But they are not all bad. They are not all dark. They've had a bad press. And a lot of them have been demonized over the years through various religions and because of their freedom. You know, they're free beings. They're free. They like to party. They like to celebrate. They're, and they are connected to, you know, like, you know, you said they're not fifth dimensional beings and they're connected to the ground, but like us, we're all connected as one, if mm-hmm. if you choose to believe that, which I do. Everything is interconnected, and you've got, for example, the source, the angels, the celestial angels. Well, the fairies do connect to those. In fact, if I'm not sure if you're aware of an artist called Brian Froud, who's known as the godfather of fairies. Well, he does lots of art. He's involved in movies like The Dark Crystal and Labyrinth with David Bowie. His son was in that. So that, you know, he's quite, him and his wife, Wendy Froud, they do a lot of work with fairies, and they've produced some oracle cards. And he depicted a fairy ascending, which is when I very first met him back in 2006, I think it was. And this really got to me, this particular image of a fairy ascending, because you just, I don't know, it's just not something you think of when you think of fairies. It wasn't something I thought of. So I had a really good conversation with him about this and how I believed that angels and fairies were part of a same kind of connected hierarchy, but they'd have different jobs in the universe.
Right.
And he kind of said, yeah, that's what he believes too, and that fairies can ascend up to an angelic state, which makes sense. I think, fascinating.
Yeah.
So, yes, they're earth beings, but they do have the potential ability just to like ascend. Us.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. No limits, no boundaries. They're magical, magical creatures. So anything's possible, but they do have a task. They're here. They're here as guardians of the planet. So I think it's possible to ascend and stay on the planet. I hope so.
Well, that's, you know, speaking of that book, Oneness, it basically talks about that very thing, you know, and it's this ongoing, you know, process, too, that is sort of ever unfolding. So you don't ultimately arrive at some destination and it's over. It's like no matter what, you know, as you elevate and sort of continue on your journey, it's a never ending journey. And that makes sense if source, you know, is, you know, infinite, right? It's like, how far you, how far you go in your journey, you, there will be infinity sprawled before you of where you still can go. And that's like sort of mind boggling and also very, inspiring, knowing that it'll never get old and you'll never like, okay, it's over. Now what? We have eternity left and nothing to do. It's pretty interesting, too, when you were just talking. One of the things that I think about with tuning into fairies and what they are, and, you know, as I view it, it is all one. And as I give energy to anything, it's like if angelic entities appear or extraterrestrials or fairies or Sasquatch or whatever these characters or spirit guides, they're all extensions of the same thing. i.e. me, i.e. you, you know, source. It's all the same thing, how it chooses to manifest itself, to experience itself. And if you really resonate with the energy of this sort of archetype, the fairy, well, and you give energy to it, you instantly tune in to anything you can think of source has created, and it has, it exists in eternity, right? So as soon as you give energy and tune into the fairy channel, guess what? That's what you'll start having experience with. Maybe for some, they're like, oh, they seem pesky. I don't want to tune into that. I want to tune into, but man, I love the idea of like spaceships and, you know, the future and outer space. And okay, cool. Tap into that channel of energy that exists too. So it all exists. It's like what, and it's all the same thing, just sort of dressing up in different drag, right? To experience itself.
Yeah, it's what you resonate with as well, isn't it? And I always think, you know what, we are divine beings. We are from that source. And
fractals of the source, as I put it, you know?
Yeah, and while I'm in a body, I want to play in this body, and I want to care for the earth. And I, okay, you could say, well, in the grand scheme of things, it's all doesn't matter, nothing matters, just let everything be. But I can't just let it be sometimes, like, because while I'm in a body, I want to be proactive. If I see somebody about to chop down a tree that doesn't need to be chopped down, I will say something. And, right. and that's just me, my ego, my personality, whatever it is. But that does resonate with the fairies. So yeah. that's probably right. why I've kind of tuned into them, or they've tuned into me, or a little bit of both.
Yep. Closely related on the tree of, you know, of source, if you will, right? It's yeah, like you're on the yeah. same branch. And this, you know, I always put it yeah. like if it's all one, that is how I perceive it to be. But then you have certain branches, this infinite tree, but you have certain branches and yeah. leaves that happen to be next to each other on the branch. And they sort of, you know, birthed out of source from the same little, you know, they sprouted from the same bud, if you will. And so there's similarities yes. and resonance.
Yeah, definitely. And for whatever reason, I don't really question it too much, because it's fun and I'm having mostly a great time with this right. because so much magic does manifest and things happen all the time, and I can't explain it, and I don't need to explain it. I just accept it now, magic as a natural part of my life that just unfolds when it's supposed to, and it's fun, and I'm enjoying this ride, you know, and I have a lovely connection with them, and it is, you know, there is a serious side to it, and that is the planet and caring for our planet. Mm-hmm. And whether we know that we're just here for a short time and we'll be gone, there is the matter of, you know, our children and our children's children and so on and so sure. forth. So I do want to do as much as I can do in a peaceful way.
Right.
To ensure the caring of our beautiful, amazing, miraculous planet, because it is. And so many people just take it for granted, and the fairies are there, like, protecting everything and every single thing, like every blade of grass. It's even not that I read the Bible very often, but there is mm-hmm. something in the Old Testament about every single blade of grass has I think it's an angel or a nature angel watching over it. And a nature angel is also another word for a fairy. You know, so yeah, exactly. I like that. And I do sometimes refer to them as nature angels. It's just a label. It's the energy, isn't it? It's whatever you wish to identify it as for sake of conversation, rather than me saying, you know, that energy thing, you know, blah, blah, blah. A fairy or a nature angel. We clothe it in these words that describe what we're trying to express, which is quite challenging sometimes. And also with fairies, you know, there's all these sayings like, oh, she's away with the fairies, he's away with the fairies. Oh, And it has a kind of very flippant, silly feeling about it. But I'm pretty grounded. I'm very grounded. And yet I am away with the fairies, literally. And I get a lot done with the help of the fairies. Sometimes I look at the things I do and I think, how on earth am I doing that? And I know that I'm receiving support. And the inspiration and the ideas and the creative inspiration, and I'm not going to not give myself credit for that as well, but right. I'm definitely tuned into that. And sometimes, just for example, like a couple of days ago, I'm organizing a fairy festival at the moment. And a couple of days ago, I was thinking, oh, I could really do with a nice big stretch tent in the middle with somebody doing nice organic tea and coffee and vegan cake. And then 2 days later, somebody contacted me and said, I know it's last minute, but I have this stretch tent and tea and coffee. And it was exactly as I'd put out. How cool. I know that the fairies are kind of weaving like-minded and like-hearted energies together and kind of putting invisible strands to pull us together.
Yeah.
So, I love the manifesting with the fairies is a really fun thing to do. Always for the highest good, I would say, not for selfish reasons, and never to influence the free will of another. Those mm-hmm. are my rules. I know I said throw all the rules away, but there are certain rules that I always adhere to about respecting other people's free will always and trying not to let my ego and desires get take control of me, you know.
Right.
That's another thing. So the fairies will help you generally if it's going to be of benefit to the planet, and you can benefit too. There's no reason why you can't have a little pot of gold sometimes. You know, they don't like to part with their pot of gold very often, but occasionally you need it. You need it.
I thought that was leprechauns. Now I'm confused.
Yeah, well, they're fairies. Well, leprechauns are of the fairy realm. They are fairy beings also. So I won't get too technical here, but there are lots of different types of fairies. Gnomes. Mm. A lot of people have heard of gnomes. They're of the fairy realm as well.
Interesting.
And yeah, I won't go on about this because it will get too technical, but leprechauns are of the fairy realm. They do not like to let go of their gold, but they will sometimes. They will share it sometimes.
Well, tell them if they feel like sharing. I have a lot of Irish roots and, you know, I'm happy to accept any gold offerings if you talked any. Just they can send it my way.
I'm sure you could ask them. I'm sure they would tune in to you. Yeah, because you're doing a lot of good work as well. So
excellent. I will definitely. I'm accepting any and all gold offerings. Let it be known, leprechauns, fairies, gnomes, all of you folks. You can bring it. You can deliver it on a unicorn, and that'll work too.
So, right, now watch this space. I'm interested to find out what happens now.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because I definitely get my fair share of weird and amazing and magical, beautiful stories. So who knows? Stay tuned. I'll let you guys know if I get a delivery. So you are also currently working now. Well, first you just said that you're having a fairy festival. You're also working on a book and some fairy cards. Well, tell us about all that.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll start with a festival because that's a natural progression from what I was just saying. And there is a little story with that. If we've got time, sure. I can shorten it. But I organise a fairy festival, and it's called the Three Wishes Fairy Festival.
Cool.
Now,
we're bringing genies into it. I love it. You are so inclusive. Isn't the Three Wishes a genie?
which is another type of fairy.
I love it. I love it. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. How did this happen? I get these inspirations coming into me all the time, and I have a filter, and sometimes I don't do everything I'm told. You know, if I get do this, do that, I don't do it all. But sometimes if I get a little prompting that resonates with me and in my heart especially, and it feels like it could be fun, then I am receptive to those kind of promptings. And I had this prompting: organize a fairy festival at the time of midsummer. Mm. Announce it now. And I'm like, hey, what was that? It came again very clearly. Now, I've been organizing kind of mystic fairs, mind, body, spirit, holistic fairs since 1994. So I built up a good reputation. And then I said, first of all, I was like, who's talking to me? And they said, it's a fairy's talking to you. And I'm like, okay, you want me to announce that I'm organizing a festival. I don't know where it is. And they said, it will be in Cornwall. And I'm like, okay, Cornwall is the county where I live in England. Mm. Or in the UK, people call it Great Britain, whatever you call it. I call it England because England is derived from an old English word, angel land, land of angels. So that's why I like England. Mm. So anyway, I said, yes, I will. I'll think about this, but I'd be putting my whole reputation on the line to announce to all my database, all my followers and fans and everything, that I'm doing a fairy festival in Cornwall, but I don't know where it is. And it seemed a bit far-fetched. And then I got clearly the message back, you have to trust. If you make the announcement and you trust us, then we will do the rest. And I'm like, well, okay, what have I got to lose? Only everything on a practical level, you know. So I thought, yeah, that's the sort of person I am. So I was like, okay, So within a week, I'm not even sure how it happened. These things happen in very magical, mysterious ways. But I ended up meeting somebody who owned some land and a venue that would have been perfect for the festival. He agreed for me to hold the festival there. And we still work with him to this day, 12 years it will be this year. And he said to me after, he said, I said yes, he said, because I thought you were bonkers, but you might be onto something. So he agreed to let us use his land, and he's now actually our site manager, which is really cool. But anyway, I didn't have a name for this festival, and I thought, well, Fairy Festival, okay, there weren't really, I think there might have been one day festival in the UK or something, but it, you know, like a fairy day, but there weren't really any fairy festivals. And I wanted a name that would differentiate it, you know, just to really make it stand, because fairy festival was like a generic name. Anybody could do one. So I asked the fairies and I said, okay, I need a name for this, something that's going to really make it stand out. And so I put that thought out from my heart in a genuine kind of request. I really do need a name for this, so please help me. And I was doing something. I was hanging out the washing in hanging it up in the garden. And then I noticed that, interestingly, a dandelion, what we were talking about earlier, there was a dandelion flower. But you know when they go into a seed head and they're all fluffy and they've got little wishes on them? I don't know if you know what the people blow them, and they're dandelion wishes or dandelion clocks. So there was one of those. And what was really interesting is that it was a rare occasion that our lawn had actually been mowed. And I could not understand how this solitary dandelion seed head had been left intact growing when everything else around it was cut, you know. So I thought that was really strange. It was a very sunny, still day, and I was hanging out the washing, and then one of these seeds flew up past me, and I was like, oh, that's really lovely, a little wish, because I call them fairy wishes, and one flew up past me. Bearing in mind there was no wind, there was no breeze, and then another one flew up me, past me, and then another one flew, and I went, oh, three wishes have just flew, and I went, three wishes, ping, light bulb moment.
Wow.
And I thought that will be the name of the festival, and there that was when Three Wishes Fairy Festival was born, with the name Three Wishes. And that's really stuck now.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, I know. So that, I hope I didn't go on too long about that, but it's a it explains, you know, how it all came to be.
Of course.
So anyway, this festival has been going 12 years this year. It always takes place around the nearest weekend to midsummer, which is one of the notorious times of celebration for the fairies. And so it's always around that time, and it's coming up, it's on the 15th to the 17th of June, so it's only a couple of weeks, and I'm still like busily organizing last minute things. And it's basically, imagine going into fairyland for 3 days and three nights. Imagine what that would be like. And that is the concept behind, you know, on the human level, creating that. You're going into, you know, what's a nightclub like in fairyland? How do you imagine it to be? And it's all very light and fun, and people are dancing. It's happy.
Sounds
it's
a little like a transformational festival. I go to a lot of transformational festivals out here, especially on in California. There's a whole lot. It's quite the movement, you know, sort of Burning Man-esque. And it almost sounds like that sort of energy where you create a container that really, actually my fairy story happened at a festival. And so it's like you create this container where all these high vibe people are getting together and sort of, you know, playing, you know, their inner child has come out and they're open to magic, and you create this container. It's like, you speaking of the Bible, I think, you know, I think a lot of wisdom is in the Bible that was misinterpreted, you know, about what Jesus.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Jesus was teaching same thing we're talking about. I and the Father are one.
Yep.
You know, you can do greater things than I, you know, with the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain, talking about like law of attraction and creating with energy. And, you know, it was just misinterpreted and turned into this, you know, that's a whole nother tangent. I'm not quite trying to go there, but one of the things that the Bible, one of the things the Bible, talked about is where it says something to the effect of where more one or more two or more of you are gathered together, you know, magic can kind of happen essentially. And it's because we create basically, this field together, this energetic field where you suspend disbelief and you allow magic in. And some of my most magical stories have happened in environments like that. So what you're doing is actually very, very powerful. And I would imagine there will be people who, you know, have some profound experiences.
Yeah, that I get told all the time about the connections and experiences that people have at the festival. In fact, the last few years we've ended up with a stone circle that manifests every year at the festival, and we've called it the Fairy Ring Stone Circle. Cool. And we hold an opening circle where everybody holds hands, and basically we consciously invite the fairies in, let them know that we're here and we're here to celebrate and honor the land for 3 days and nights. And that's really fun. And also we have things like I've been visualizing, like, wanting, you probably have them, I know you have them in America, these mermaid aquariums with real mermaids, you know, women who are mermaids
I know a mermaid.
there's so many everywhere else in the world. And over here, we do have a little mermaid community, but I've never, ever been able to find a tank. And again, I was wishing, I was visualizing, I really want a mermaid tank at the festival. It'd be so cool. And then suddenly, a few days later, I connected with somebody who had not just the UK's first mermaid tank, but Europe's first mermaid tank. And they said they wanted to come to the festival. So they're going to be coming as well. So that's so exciting. Wow. They're going to be unveiling it at the festival in a couple of weeks' time. So I'm really excited about that. Yeah. And also we're holding a unicorn world record, which means people with unicorn horns the most gathered in one place. So we're doing that. And it's just really fun. And, you know, I know there's stuff going on in the world that isn't fun. We all know that there's stuff going on in the world that isn't fun.
Yeah.
And I really feel like my mission, whether it's a self-given mission or a divine mission, it doesn't matter.
They all are self-giving and divine, both, I would say.
Yes, I like that. I like that a lot. So that's what I do. I create a space where people can come, forget about their everyday cares and concerns, and they can just come and be in a space and have fun and celebrate dress up, because we have different themes. And dressing up as well is about expressing your inner fairy, your inner unicorn, whatever it is. It's about expressing that. And you kind of feel a bit more free, or a lot of people feel freer when they're dressed up. So that's what the dressing up part is about as well. It's not like a vanity thing. Well, maybe it is, I don't know. But from my point of view, it's like expression. It's being creative. And we have these different themes that seem to have snowballed at the moment. People are already saying, what's the theme for next year? It's like, I don't even know yet. I have to wait till it comes through. And people basically just create these outfits. We've had people dressing up as trees, like creating these big tree ent outfits and walking in as a tree.
Wow.
Or, you know, it's
cool.
Like really,
I wanna go.
Yeah. I'd love you to come. I'd love you to come. You would love it. You would love it. It's just a very lovely space. And that's all. And I don't want to sound like, oh, yeah, this is my festival. It's so great. Everyone should come. But hey, everyone, this is my festival.
It's so great.
You should come.
I love it. Perfect. Perfect. Perfect.
Just briefly, I am, as you mentioned, I am writing a book, and I'm creating some oracle cards as well, so fairy guidance cards.
And you make music, right?
I can't see too much. I make music. Yeah, primarily I am. My kind of go-to thing is that I'm a singer, songwriter, musician, and my partner, Michael Tingle, is that as well. He's a very talented guy, and he has his own mobile recording studio because he doesn't want to be confined by the walls. And so we can basically just go anywhere and record. And we have been doing that, like going to stone circles or to a fairy grotto or anywhere and just recording. And we've put together this album, which we've only recently released, called Through the Fairy Portal. So it's really inspired by fairies. Yeah, it's good.
Wow.
That's what I'm going to say. Yeah.
Well, okay. So I'd love to hear if you have a good story of synchronicity or serendipity or a positive paranormal story. Maybe it even ties in with fairies, or it doesn't have to. But I'm such a sucker for good stories, and I'd love to hear if you have something up your sleeve.
Oh my gosh, up my fairy sleeve.
Up your fairy sleeve.
This is my little wand. This is my sound of my wand. Right.
I love it.
I like to get that in. Somebody gifted me
What's
this.
What's so funny
it's
is
so
I'm
sweet.
Literally
I really love it.
I'm sitting here. I call it my hippie fidget spinner. It's a little crystal wand. It has two little crystals on the end. And I literally just sit here while I'm doing these discussions, and I just play with it, and it's in my hand. So I have a wand on my end. It just doesn't have a cool noise. So I got to upgrade.
Oh gosh. Okay. Now this is not fairy related. It's the one that's just come forward. So I'm going to share it. Have you heard of the Kumbh Mela Festival in India?
I have not.
Right. Well, basically, literally millions of people descend on this land. It happened. There's four Melas every year, M-E-L-A. And every 12th year is a Kumbh Mela, which is like the giant one, the mother festival or the daddy festival. Is, and all the holy men and the gurus and the sadhus, they all come down from the mountains and wherever they are, their caves, literally, and they descend. It was in a place called Allahabad, and it was in 1988. Okay, and I'll try and not be too long with the story, but it's just the one that came forward, so I'm going to share it with you. And so I ended up, it's predominantly male, a lot of men there, some women, not many Western women. So I did kind of stand out like a sore thumb, but I was there with a few friends from England, and we went to this festival, and this guru said, come into my tent. And they have all their tents and they share their wisdom and everything. Anyway, they were like smoking to Shiva and stuff like this. He said, you can't have any, you are carrying the spirit of Shiva. And I'm like, sorry, excuse me. He said, you are pregnant. And I was like, I don't think so. It turned out that I was, which was really bizarre when I got back to England. So that was interesting that he knew that. But the other thing that I was going to say is that, so we're in this tent, and before I went to India, a friend of mine had said to me, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you want to go? And I said, oh, Egypt. And she said, no, somewhere that's like a once in a lifetime kind of a place. So I said, well, let me sleep on it and I'll ask. And I had a dream, and in the dream was an Indian guru levitating, and he said, come to India and learn to levitate like me. And I woke up the next morning and I thought, okay, I can't really say much about that. I think I've got to go to India, because it was a really specific question that I'd asked, and that was my very specific answer. So moving forward, my friend got me a ticket. We flew out to India. I ended up in this guru's tent with my friends, and we were all sitting in a circle. And if I pause, it's because I'm reliving this moment. So,
no worries.
There was basically this festival was on desert land. It was on a desert. Mm-hmm. Now this scorpion Well, I didn't know it was a scorpion. I thought it was an earwig. Do you know what an earwig is? They look like scorpions, yes. but they're not. Yeah. They're not as harmful, but they can nip. Well, I thought it was an earwig walking towards me very confidently in the middle of this circle, and everyone was watching it. And then it proceeded to walk underneath my very big skirt.
Wow.
At which point there was a guy making tea and he said, "Scorpion." And I literally levitated. I don't know how I did it, but I just literally levitated up. Yeah, because it turned out this scorpion was one of the deadly ones, in the sense that if it bit you, you would be no more in this body, kind of thing. Yeah, so that happened. I don't know why I told that story, but that's the one that came forward. So I did go to India and I did levitate. So it's true.
Wow, that's crazy. So, I mean, you really felt like you were floating for more than just a jump up, like you were hovering for...
I probably was just jumping up in reality, but to me, I was levitating.
It felt like a levitation, right? And yeah, it resonated with your dream. And you know what's funny? Did. Maybe one of the reasons you told that story is if anyone goes to my Facebook page, the only video you will see on my page is a picture of a very dramatic video. And there's a picture too in my somewhere in my albums. But there's one video, and it's a very dramatic video in the desert at Burning Man, actually. It's me levitating. So, that could be the reason that one came to the forefront, because I have a levitation video that, and people often ask how, and you know, I'm not going there, but
it is definitely. Okay. Oh no. Even after that great lead in that I gave you with my story.
Yes, exactly. So maybe that's why. So I have a levitation. I have a levitation video. So, yeah, very, very fun. Sorry.
Wow,
go ahead.
That really. I mean, that's wowed me out actually, because I was thinking, I'm the fairy lady. Why am I talking about levitating in India?
But isn't it great? So what a great example of just listening to your intuition and, seeing the connective threads between us all. And, that's really the what a great way to sort of wind this down here today. This has been amazing. But really to understand it's all connected. These are all, as you give all this energy to the fairy realm, you're co-creating it. It means everything because it's your world. It's like, you talked about earlier, like, is it important or not important? And it's like, I think it's sort of a divine dichotomy. Nothing matters and everything counts. Both are true simultaneously, depending what lens you're viewing reality through, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And so you bring a sense of levity to everything and truly, people talk about being enlightened, The way to being enlightened, in my view, is becoming more childlike, lightening up.
Yes.
And that's exactly what you're helping people to do. And I applaud the work that you're doing. You are so amazing. And this has been so fun to connect with you. For those who are interested in connecting, what is the best way to connect with you?
Either Instagram, and it's just Karen K. Fairy. I think that's what it is now. And Facebook, again, just Karen K, it will come up. And I've got a website, which is karenk.co.uk, lots of K's, but it's my whole name. So it's karenkay.co.uk. And I'm quite active on social media. I really enjoy talking to people and connecting virtually, because it just makes the world a bit smaller and it's really fun.
Sure does.
So yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for everything that you're doing in the world, Karen. I do have one last question for you. In 60 seconds or less, what is the meaning of life according to Karen K?
The meaning of life is to cherish every moment, to count your blessings, and to be thankful for your blessings before they arrive. Be grateful, be humble, and love.
So beautifully said. Thank you so much for being the magical fairy lady that you are, Karen.
Thank you so much, Brandon. This time has literally just flown by and I'm so grateful to be able to speak with you. And yeah, it's so cool to connect. Thank you.
All right, everyone. Until next time, journey well.